Now, I have something in mind that I would like to look at with you in the mornings, especially during the time that I'll be here. But I think I'll start that either over the weekend or in the beginning of next week. But John chapter 20 came to my attention the other day, and I was talking to one of our brothers about it as we were having fellowship together. And here's the story of the resurrection of Jesus, one of the accounts of Christ's resurrection. We find them in all four Gospels. And we read some things here in the Gospel of John that we don't read in the others. And here it talks to us about Mary. I'm sure it's Mary Magdalene. It says it here. The first day of the week, that would be a Sunday, right? The first day of the week is Sunday. I always thought it was Monday. The weekend, and then Monday was the first day of the week, back to school. But actually, the Bible, and well, just naturally speaking, the first day of the week is Sunday. And it was the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. She runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Now that may imply that she not only saw the stone rolled away, but she looked in for a moment and saw that the body of Jesus wasn't there. I don't know. Maybe she just came to that conclusion because the stone was moved. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. Boy, you say the word sepulchre a lot when you read this passage, don't you? So they ran together. Okay. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Oh, well, let's stop there for a moment. Mary goes early. She's been waiting till the Sabbath would pass, and then she would be permitted to go to the place where Jesus' body was, that she might pay her respects, that she might perhaps care for the body as their custom was. You know, Jesus was crucified, and they had to take him down quickly from the cross and just sort of prepare his body and get it ready and get it into that tomb before the Sabbath began. And so they really felt that they hadn't given him a proper burial, and there were other things that they wanted to do, perhaps more spices and spend more time preparing the body for the burial. And so Mary came early that morning. And when she got there, she noticed that the stone was rolled away, and so she didn't know what to make of that, and so she assumed that they had taken the body and stolen it. And so she ran, and she told the disciples, and she spoke to Peter and John. When you read about that disciple whom Jesus loved in the Gospel of John, he seems to be referring to himself. And so they took off, and they wanted to see for themselves. So they ran over to the tomb, and John got there first. He outran Peter, it says. But when he got there, he stopped. He didn't go in. Now, we don't know why that was. Maybe he was younger, and he was afraid to enter into this place of the dead, or I don't know what held him back, but he stopped at the door. Well, Peter finally came huffing and puffing, and he got there. It doesn't tell us how much longer he had to wait, but Peter came next. But Peter went right in. And when John saw Peter go in, then he got courage to follow. And so then he went into the tomb as well. And it says that they saw the linen cloths. The cloths were empty. The body wasn't there. And not only that, but the napkin, the cloth that covered his face, was, another gospel tells us, it was folded up and placed alongside. Now, some people said that his disciples had come and stolen the body, or maybe his enemies had done that. But usually don't unwrap a body and then wrap the cloths up again and fold the napkin and take the body away. If you're going to take that body, you just take everything. And so there seemed to be some indication that something unusual had taken place. Now, we understand that it was the resurrection, that Jesus came to life and his body evidently passed through those burial cloths and left them behind. And so there was some indication that something supernatural had taken place, that it wasn't just that the body was stolen. It says that when Peter and John saw that, they believed, and yet they didn't have any real scripture to base it on. They didn't know the scripture that spoke of him being raised from the dead. Now, I remember reading something about this one time, and they made something of the fact that John got there first, but he didn't go in. You know, there are a lot of people that get excited about the things of God, but they don't really go very far. Parable of the sower tells us that there are some people that receive the word of God with joy, and they get excited about the things that they read in the Bible or they hear preached. But when persecution comes, or when things get tough, they give up. They don't hold on to that word, but they get discouraged, and they get sidetracked. And you know, that makes me think of John here a little bit. He was all excited about the news that Jesus wasn't there, and he wanted to find out what that was about, and he ran and got there quick, but he didn't go in. He didn't go in. And there are a lot of people like that. You'll get excited about the things you hear about camp, here at camp. But what do you do with it? You going to forget these things? I've seen that happen so many times. People that seem so zealous and so earnest and so excited, but they didn't persevere when difficult times came. When things happen that seem to be contrary to what the Word of God says, they started looking at their circumstances, and then they say, Lord, I thought you promised this, and look what's happening. And so they just throw in the towel. Well, we don't want to be like that. We want the Word of God to go down deep into our hearts and take root in our lives. And that when persecution comes, we don't give up and say, well, this is what the Bible says, but just the opposite is happening. But we look away from our circumstances and we cling to the Word of God. And we say, Lord, I believe your Word, and I'm going to trust you to fulfill it in the midst of these adverse circumstances. And then you got someone like Peter, who took a little bit longer to get there. You know, everybody wants God to do a quick work. But God doesn't work that way. God takes time with us. If he's going to do something solid in our life, it's going to take time. And we don't get everything right away. And I see Peter as someone who he just plugged along, but he kept going, and he went further than John. He went in and he experienced for himself and investigated and came to a place of believing. And that inspired John as well, and he then went a little further himself. But you know, there's something about people that are just determined to seek the Lord, and maybe they don't seem to make as quick progress as others, but God is doing something very precious in their lives and something very solid in their lives, and it may take them a little bit longer to get there, but when they get there, they've got something real. We need to understand that the work of God takes time in our life. And then you got Mary. and Mary, she's much, very much a part of this story. And it says that after Peter and John got there and they saw that the sepulcher was empty, and they decided that, you know, maybe Christ rose. I don't know. I don't really understand fully from this passage what they understood exactly. But it says they believed, and so there must have been some thought that Christ must have risen. But Mary, she stood out. But it says that they went home. After that, they went back home. They pondered these things, I'm sure, and maybe talked to some of the other disciples about what they had seen. But here it says Mary stood, she stayed there. She didn't go home with them. She stayed at the sepulcher, and there she was weeping. But Mary stood without, verse 11, the sepulcher weeping. And she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if you've borne him, hence tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." And then Jesus said, "Touch me not, don't hold on to me, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Mary experienced something that the others didn't. Because she lingered there for a while, she gave the Lord an opportunity to come to her. And she experienced the most precious manifestation of the Lord of all of them at that time. Now, when I was in Kirchheim recently, in Germany, where Sister Kniezel was and was from, and this other couple that has been visiting camp, just returning home with Brother Eddie today, I was there maybe a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and I noticed that the people in that church were taught to wait on God, to give God time, to spend time in his presence. And I had traveled over 4,500 miles by airplane to get there, as Brother Eddie did. And the first meeting that I was in, we sat in silence for over a half hour, just sat quietly. And the Lord drew so near to us, and his presence was so rich, and you knew that he was doing something very precious in your heart. And I had to smile. I thought, look, we traveled all this way to come here and preach, and we're just sitting quietly. And I said, and I'm so happy to do that. We didn't really come to preach. We came to meet the Lord and seek him with the others. And then in the afternoon, every afternoon, we'd come into the church, and we'd get down on our knees, and we'd just be quiet for an hour and a half. Nobody prayed out. Nobody sang a song. But people just sat in the presence of God. And Brother Kniezel used to do that when he was alive during these conventions. The afternoon was for waiting on God. And, you know, as I did that, and these are things that we've been taught in our churches as well, but as I spent time in the presence of God like that, God began to do things in my life. God began to awaken things in my heart. The Lord began to come to me in a most precious way. And I would have missed that if I didn't spend that time waiting for him. And it was just confirmed to me again that God comes to those that wait on him, that some of his richest blessings and the greatest things that he has for us comes as we wait on him. And that was confirmed to me again the other night. We had a wonderful meeting. I thought the meeting was good. Brother Eddie's preaching was good. He presented wonderful truths to us. And then the meeting was dismissed, and perhaps some people went back to their cabins. But then there were others that waited a while. And we waited, and then suddenly Jesus poured out his Spirit. I think our brother here was referring to that meeting the other night. And I've seen that happen so many times. When the meeting is over, and people decide finally to go home, there are still a few people that are waiting. And God sees that. And as they wait, then the Lord begins to come in the most glorious way. And I felt it was like that. I enjoyed the meeting, but that altar service when Jesus poured out his Spirit, oh, that was worth waiting for. And you'll find that while you're up at camp, God will do that. He wants to teach us to wait for him. He wants us to teach us to linger in his presence and give him time to work. If God needs anything in our life, he needs our time. And I want to learn that better. I think about that often. Lord, am I giving you enough time to just work in my life? We've been taught that during the day we should just get alone with Jesus. If you've got any extra time, just sit in his presence. Open your Bible. And just tell him you love him and wait for him to come to you. And you'll find that if you develop that type of lifestyle and that habit, and you recognize that God comes to those that give him time, and don't be so quick to run or say, well, that was a nice meeting, but it's over now. But say, Lord, I'm going to just give you a little time here yet before I go to my room. The ministers often encourage us to do that. I know some of you are tired, and they'll say, but just spend a little time in prayer before you go. We've heard wonderful things. We don't want to forget them. Let's linger for a few moments. And sometimes those few moments then turn into longer moments, and then the Lord comes. And then you're so glad that you didn't miss that and that you waited for the Lord like that. And so I know that's a simple truth from this story, and maybe not everybody would see that here in Peter and John running and Mary staying. But it was a blessing to me to think of it that way. Lord, don't make me like John. I like his enthusiasm, but don't let me stop short or give up when things get tough or when I get scared. And maybe I should be more like Peter, who plugs along and goes a little bit further, but he didn't stay long enough. But here, Mary, after they went home, she was still there. And she met the Lord himself. She was the first one to meet the Lord and then to bring back that glorious message that Jesus was alive. I met him and he appeared to me. Praise God. And so I trust that everyone, when we leave camp, will have sought the Lord in such a way that we really meet him and we don't miss what he has for us. Let's sing In the Garden and then we'll be dismissed. Okay. In the Garden. I'm sure that the writer had this story in mind when he wrote this song. That's number 304. Let's stand together.
I come.